Good evening to each of you and to, I hope, some of the staff from Family Life Missions that are able to join us on the internet. Buenas tardes. That will be the extent of my Spanish this evening. It's my joy and privilege to be able to share with you tonight about the trip that we recently took to Honduras. That was the trip was from a group here from River Chase, as well as a few others who have ties to River Chase, and we were able to make that trip. We returned Tuesday just after midnight. I had to jump right back into the world of work, so I hope this is okay. It may be a little disjointed. It's been a busy couple of weeks, but it is truly my joy to be able to share some about this work that you support. I want to start with the idea of fostering children and adopting. I think you would agree with me, I hope you would, that it has been a joy for us to experience some of what Eric and Leah Gott have experienced in fostering and adopting kids. It's not our story, it's not our journey to tell, it's theirs, but we've been able to experience that some along the way with them. And I feel joy every time I see their family. Some of you were foster children. Some of you were adopted. You know the power that comes from taking care of children. It's a blessing, and it's ordained by God. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. That's what our trip to Honduras was about. I think there's always a question when we take trips about here versus there. Why not take care of the needs that are here? Why do we have to spend the time and money to go to another place? I think it's a fair question. My answer to it, I think, is why not both? If we have the opportunity to meet needs here and have the opportunity to meet needs in other places, let's try to take advantage of that. There's not a right or wrong, I believe. There's not a good or a bad. There's not a better or best. There are details that are important. There are needs that come up that should be met in both places. But I don't think it always has to be a question of here versus there. Sometimes it is about, you may say, the lowest hanging fruit, or sometimes it's a matter of triage. Where is the biggest need? What do we have to take care of first? Where is the greatest opportunity? Many of you may be familiar with the movie Saving Private Ryan from a few years ago. It's not for kids. It's not for the faint of heart. I think we watched it on VidAngel and were able to cut out at least most of the war-torn profanity. But it is a story. It's a powerful story from World War II, fictional, but about saving an entire mission to save one person. An entire mission just to save one person. Tonight, I'm going to tell you a similar story about a mission for one person. Is it worth it? Well, let's find out. First of all, a few of the benefits of going versus staying. Or this trip happened, so what were the benefits from that? Because we were there and not here. We did spend resources and effort to go help the mission that's taking place there. What comes out of that? Well, for us as Americans, we get to get out of our comfort zone a little bit, and that helps us grow and be better people. Our brains are stretched a little bit when we hear a different language, when we try to speak another language, when we try to communicate using hand signs, which can work. You know, even if you don't know ASL, you can sort of work your way through a lot of situations, even with hand signs sometimes. It exposes Hondurans to Americans. Now, that can be good or bad, but in the sense that we might have learned a few things or have some wisdom, so to speak, that we can provide to them, then we're able to enrich their lives. And we learn things from them, and so our lives are enriched because of that. We learn a few new things, and they, in turn, learn a few things as well. We get to tell jokes that you're tired of that we can tell to new people. We can show card tricks that you already know how they work. We can show to them, and they've never seen it before. So we get to refresh some of our, the things that we go over a lot that might be a little stale here, they're fresh to them. And we learned a couple of card tricks as well, so that was fun. We get to energize and encourage them just because we're something different. We're something fresh and new that comes to visit them, and they feel vitalized and encouraged by our presence. By the end of it, they're probably also fully exhausted, dealing with us the whole time, but we do hopefully bring them a new spirit and some hope and some energy along the way. Sometimes conversations about God are easier in another setting, in another country. That probably should not be true, but it is true. It's easier to talk sometimes when they don't know you and they're not going to see you again. There's drawbacks that come from that, but sometimes it's just easier to live out that life or to have that conversation in another country as opposed to here. We also hopefully contribute to the betterment of Honduras overall, but specifically to what goes on the campus and in the work of Family Life Missions there in Catacamas. That's the hope, that we make it a little bit better, that we leave it better than we found it. So there are benefits to going, in addition, of course, to what I'll share with you in just a moment, more of the story. It took us, let me make sure I got the pointer right. It took us about 4 hours, four and a half, to go from Birmingham to Miami to Tegucigalpa. It took about twice that long to get to where we were actually working. So it's travel, as you know, can be tough. It takes a lot of time and effort. It's, herding cats to get all of us. And we're all pretty level-headed. We kind of get it. Most of us have traveled before. But it's still just hard. And transportation in Honduras is an adventure. If you like dogs, there's a lot of dogs in Honduras. They're everywhere. You have to dodge them on the road, not to mention the chickens, the cows, the horses, the pigs, and the people that are everywhere. The motorbikes, the cars, the big trucks, the small cars, all of it. It is challenging. And we are all, we're not on the TEMSA bus, let's just put it that way. We have to go and pick up trucks and a van. And it's just challenging to get all of us from one place to another with all of our stuff. And Tegucigalpa is the capital. There's about close to 2 million people in the capital. I counted, granted I didn't see the whole city, but I counted 3 traffic lights in a city of 2 million people, 3 traffic lights, and maybe a dozen stop signs. The rest of it is good luck. You just drive and hope you get there. So transportation is a little bit challenging. Honduras itself has about 9 million people. They are about an hour behind us right now. They don't keep daylight savings time. Usually they're in the central time zone. And you can see they're practically directly south of where we are. This is a map of the nation of Honduras. Again, we fly into Tegucigalpa, the capital. The main work for Family Life Missions is in Catacamas. We went down here to El Paraíso, which is Spanish for paradise. And it is, in a sense, but it's a long way from everything else. Maybe that's part of why it's called paradise, but it is a very, very long way. We were somewhere around 2 miles from the Nicaraguan border, if that gives you an idea. So we were in the extreme southern portion, southeast portion of the country is where we did our primary work. And again, the organization, the mission is based in Catacamas. So what did we do on our trip? Well, I'm just the mouthpiece tonight. I hope I can somehow convey our trip to you in an effective way. Granted, there's no way I can do a week's trip justice. I won't try to do that, and I'll try to stay within our time here. What I would recommend is that you ask a teen or ask someone that went. Talk to the young people that went with us and ask them what they thought, what they did. And they'll have stories to tell, I can assure you of that. This is the team that went this year, and just a couple of notes about it. There were 15 of us that went. There were several that were first-timers. That would be Xander Crawford, Robert Estes, Maggie Hicks, Tyler Pruitt, and Janelle and Easton from our family. This was their first time to go to Honduras. The rest of us have been before, some more than others. Matt and Malvin have been multiple times, and Matt probably a dozen times, if not probably more than 10. Malvin at least three. And I want to give them a special commendation because they were the organizers and leaders of this trip. It takes a lot of emails, phone calls, text messages, group texts, group chats, a lot of organization. It takes a lot of work to get 15 Americans into Honduras and to get us around. That's just on the American side of things. So Matt and Malvin, we are very grateful for what you did to make this trip happen. Also, a special note about Carol Eccles. She's one of the board members of Family Life Missions. She's a dear friend of our family for many years. She has an enormous heart for this ministry. She is a prayer warrior. The people in Honduras would tell you that. And anybody who meets her would tell you the same thing. She loves that work dearly, in addition to many others. But she is a very dear person and means a lot to this ministry. It was a special blessing for me to have my family with me. I consider that a gift from God, and we'll have many family memories for that for many years. Addie Eccles, Tucker Steed, and Logan Roberts are students at Harding. Logan and Tucker went last year. Addie has been before. In fact, she was baptized in Honduras 10 years ago. So this was a special visit for her to be able to return to the place where she was baptized. So a lot of special things about this trip, and that's just a few notes about who went. Once again, ask them. Just start a conversation with any of us that went, and we'd be glad to share with you about that. So there's a couple of pictures of the team, the young people that went there, and then the entire team there on the right after we had arrived in country. And you get closer to everyone, you find out more about each other, and it's really special to be able to spend time with the other Americans there in addition to the work that we're doing. So travel takes up a lot of this trip just out of necessity. We worked a lot. There, just a note about traveling, you can see our luggage piled up under a tarp in the back of that pickup. It was either filled with luggage or people, sometimes both, going everywhere. And that's how we have to get all of that to everywhere that we're going. And usually the ride looks something like what you see up there on your right. There were a lot of us piled into the cab and a lot of us piled into the bed of the pickup, multiple pickups, and into a van that the organization has there. It's a bumpy ride. Traffic's not much of a problem, except for the cows, but you don't have to worry about dying so much from other cars. look, it's not a lot better here in the U.S., okay, let's face it. We just have more traffic lights. Whether people obey them or not, different story. So we spent a lot of time traveling. This was our base camp, I guess, in the mountains of El Paraiso, and it's a two-bedroom house, a one-bath house, and it has a kitchen. There were 21 of us sharing one bathroom. 21 people sharing one bathroom for 2 days. Our young people, all of us, but our young people went 2 days with no cell phone signal at all. I mean, nothing. No Wi-Fi, no 1G, 2G, nothing. So hats off to them for being able to do that. We slept outside, the women slept inside in the bedrooms. They were full, so it was a little better, I guess, but it was crowded. The guys slept outside in either on a cot, in a hammock, or in a tent, and that's where we were for 2 days. It was still about another 40 minutes to where we actually worked. This was about 2.5 hours into the mountains. But as you can see, it's gorgeous. There are banana trees everywhere, coffee plants, mango trees, pineapples, corn, all kinds of fruit. It's spectacular, and you can have delicious food while you're there. But it's not the Four Seasons, okay? However, I should say that This all, again, this doesn't just happen. This was provided by a local resident named Marcelo. It's a connection that the Family Life Ministry missions staff made in order to be able to house us. So this all doesn't just happen. And it was tough for a couple of days, but we survived. And this shows the generosity of the people that live there. And so it actually was a very nice place to be while we worked. We worked. We did a lot of work there at this home. Again, more about this in just a minute. But in terms of the work that we did, we laid block for new bathrooms and a shower and a sela, which is sort of like a water reservoir sink type place where they store water. We laid the block for that. There was a contractor there. I don't know what he really thought about our work, but I don't think he smashed it all down when we left, but hey, cheap labor, right? I think we did okay, actually. They now have a place to go to the bathroom without going in the woods. So it's a start. We dug out a septic tank. It had not been used yet. We dug a septic tank essentially to make it deeper, to be more usable for the family there. We laid concrete over a dirt floor, which is nice on its own, but it's also especially important because they spend a lot of time barefoot or even laying and sleeping on dirt floors, and they pick up parasites and worms and things like that from laying on the dirt. So the fact that we could give them a concrete floor is actually very meaningful to them. And so we were happy to do that. We did all this without a single power tool in sight, nothing. So a lot of you may have done this before. You may have done it with power tools, but it's a new experience when you're shoveling every bit of sand and cement and doing it all completely by hand. We made a few new friends. There are Easton and Logan with a pig. He may not still be with us, I don't know. He was gonna be dinner before long, but I don't think, or she, it was a female. Anyway, I don't know if she's still with us, but they made a new friend in the meantime. There's Logan at the bottom of the septic tank, and Robert and Matt smoothing the concrete. I won't narrate all of these pictures, but you get the idea of some of the work we did. We stopped periodically to hang out with the kids, enjoy them. Easton is teaching these little guys how to make a whistling, buzzing sound with a blade of grass. Maybe you've done that when you were a kid too. It was new to them, and it was a fun little thing to share. A couple more pictures of laying block and of laying cement. The family helps us. They don't sit by, and some of them do. I mean, some of them are older and are not able to. But the family that we're working for is right in there in the mix with us doing this work, sometimes showing us what to do. But they don't sit idly by. They're involved in the work that we're doing. And the same is true for the staff, of course. Keep in mind that they're a little bit out of their comfort zone, too. They have their own homes back in Catacamas, and they have their routines, and they're up here in the mountains with us. But we're all working hard, doing different things to contribute to what's going on there. There you see the end of our work there. A toilet is now laid and is available, although there was a little bit more work to do. But this is the house where we were working. Again, we take some time out to spend time with the kids, do card tricks. We fumble through words in English and Spanish. We blow up balloons. We laugh together. We try to entertain them, and they certainly entertain us. They're a joy to be around, and that is Carol Eccles there on your left while we were having a lunch break. The thing is, she made lunch that day along with some of the other staff. So this is some of what we were up to. We did do a little bit of tourism. This is a cross at the top of a hill in Catacamas. The cross is at the top after you climb 600 steps. And somehow I made it up and down. I felt it for 3 days. But it's really beautiful once you get up there. It's just hard work to get up. As well as we went to some caves and some things like that. We saw a lot of animals. We had a traffic jam on the way to the work site. We had to get some cows off the road. They were not really interested in moving. Easton found frogs or other bugs wherever we went. That's, if you can see that, he's got two enormous frogs in his hand there. We also painted a house, a school room, a classroom, essentially classroom building there on campus for the students at the school at Family Life Missions. And we're not professional painters, but I think we got it all covered, or at least most of it, and got them a long ways down the road. So we were able to do that on campus as well. We ate a lot of food. It's really good. And it's just not what we're used to. So your stomach lets you know that along the way. Once again, there were 21 people sharing one bathroom. Did I mention that? We had more bathrooms when we got back to campus. But anyway, the food is delicious, and it represents a lot of hard work. There are a couple of fast food places in Honduras, but not many. So most of this is prepared by hand, and we're very grateful for that. We played a little bit. There's some karaoke there on your left. And then Malvin took some of our VBS songs and taught them to the students at the school at Family Life Missions. They are bilingual. It's a bilingual school. So these kids are learning a lot of things, and they had a lot of fun, just like our kids do, with VBS songs. A little bit more about Family Life Missions. Their mission is to partner with God to place the lonely in families. That organization has a platinum score for transparency from GuideStar. It's a group that compiles and rates nonprofit organizations. They're not the gospel, it's not everything, but it goes to show you that this organization is extremely well run and that they're very transparent about the work that they're doing there, and that is important. The leadership of this organization is thoughtful, they're prayerful, they're intentional, they're holistic, and they're Christ-centered in the work that they do there. You have a lot to be proud of to be affiliated with an organization like this. It's a pleasure to be there and to work with them. Family Life Missions has deep ties to River Chase. Several of the board members are either current or former River Chase members. John and Diana Kelly, Matt Thompson, Chris White, Carol Eccles, as I mentioned earlier. We have a lot of ties to this group. My in-laws, Al and Jane Gardner, worked with the Coin Banks for years. That's a ministry which Dana McCarver has graciously taken over. Lisa Steele is based in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. She's the executive director for the whole program. She has a huge heart for this mission and does great work, along with Jose Chinchilla and Carla Ponce, who are a married couple that oversee the work in Honduras. The executive leadership, by the way, stepped into a very difficult situation after some previous leaders departed. And they've done phenomenal work in recentering and re-energizing what's going on there. And so it's important for you to know that the staff of Family Life Missions and the leadership is deeply appreciative for your support. Know that we, as a group, the 15 that went, are deeply appreciative of what you've done, the things that you have done, the things that you continue to do to support what goes on there. This just does not happen without the help from many people. We understand that. The staff understands that. And we know that it takes a lot of people to do this, as well, of course, as blessings from God, our Father. So, all this for Carlitos Velasquez, who's the little boy that you see on the screen. All of this, we went hours and hours and hours into the mountains for this little boy. Well, here's the story. Carlitos was abused and abandoned by his mother. He was connected to the group at Family Life Missions. They were able to provide some immediate care for him, to take care of his physical needs, his emotional needs, while loving on him and showering him with the love of Jesus. Carlitos' father, Carlos, thought that Carlitos was dead. He had moved to another part of Honduras, in fact, where we were. He thought Carlitos had died. Can you imagine? But the staff at Family Life Missions tracked down Carlos. That's not easy. That's not easy. They went a long way, made a lot of phone calls, a lot of conversations and connections and travel to find Carlitos' father and reunite father and son. So all of this was to improve the home where Carlitos lives with his 12 other family members so that he can have a place to go to the bathroom and have a floor that won't make him sick. So all of this trip, again, we did other work, but this trip was for Carlitos. Is that extravagant? Is it a poor use of resources? Maybe. Again, we can ask that. But consider the precedent of Luke chapter 15. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So we can and should make decisions about how to allocate the resources that God has given us. But I would say that this was a powerful and important use of our time and money. Here's what it does. It sends a message. It sends a message that every child is important. It emulates our Savior, Jesus, who left heaven to come to earth and to live and die on this planet for us. It sets a tone, creates an atmosphere of love and care in Honduras, in a nation that is really struggling, especially in its care for children. Finally, I would just ask, what if this were your son or grandson? What if this were your niece or nephew, your daughter or your granddaughter? Jesus demonstrated that every single person matters. And this was our church's attempt, one small attempt, to imitate Jesus. So I think that it does matter. And I know that Carlitos will be blessed because of that. Will you pray with me? Father, as we finish tonight, we want to ask and invite your blessing upon us again. We thank you so much for the trip that those of us who were able to go went on recently to see the people of Honduras, people who you created, people who you love. I thank you, God, for every person that spoke to you on our behalf, that prayed to you, God, for the success of our trip, for every person that prays to you on behalf of the children and the employees at Family Life Mission, for every person, God, who is given of their means, Father, to make this happen. I thank you for them. And I ask, Father, that you would bless us as we give. We trust that you will. We pray for the other work that goes on through the church here at River Chase. We know that there are other children throughout the world, and even here in our backyard, who desperately need help. We ask, Father, that you would be with each of those that we support as missionaries, as workers in your kingdom. All the things that take place, God, as a result of what you've given to us, we humbly ask for your blessing on those people and on those works. I pray, Father, that you would give us a heart for people who are in need, that you would help us, God, to share the good news of Jesus everywhere we go, here in this place and wherever we may find ourselves. And we ask, Father, that you would continue to bless the work that takes place in Catacamas, Honduras, that you would bless them, Father, and empower them to do good and to rescue people, to rescue those who are lost, Father. We thank you, God, that you run to us, as you tell us in Luke 15, that you see us from far off, God, and that you embrace us and that you love us deeply and that you gave Jesus on our behalf. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Jesus loves Carlitos Velasquez, and Jesus loves you. He knocks at our door wanting to enter our lives. So I'll finish tonight by extending his invitation. Is there any way that we as a church can show you the love of Jesus this evening? If so, I would ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.